Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Aren't you happy that I read the shorter version? I've been thinking about the church lately, actually daily, and it seems to me that a certain contentiousness that I grew up with in these last 20 years has lessened. Yes, some bishops and curial officials struggle to keep up with the Pope. And blogosphere, conservatives and liberals battle on. Yet the anguish of those tuned in seems actually less. And the snores of those tuned out actually is quieted. So I couldn't help but think of Charles Dickens' opening words from The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We're all going directly to heaven, we were all going directly to, well, you fill in the rest. When I was a youth and living with dinosaurs, the church appeared as a rock, rock solid. Everybody else was fractured. We weren't. We were the one holy Roman Catholic Church. Each of us were built on the rock of Peter. Some want that same certainty and uniformity. But life is more adventure than certainty. Church history teaches us there are actually very, very few moments of peace and calm. As human beings, we are simply contentious. So church history says, expect turmoil. Look for growth, but expect turmoil. Should it be any different now? We are wounded and often wounding. In moments of disagreements, we were so tempted to reduce faith to a mere set of beliefs. But God doesn't offer us beliefs. There is no quiz at the end of the ages. He speaks the Word made flesh. He gives us Jesus. And He asks for a total response of our hearts. God doesn't build walls. He builds bridges. And He asks you and I to do the same. You know, we influence each other more than we can imagine. We kind of live in this sphere, this widening sphere, and everything ripples out. Our selfishness or our generosity touches others. St. Paul portrays today's creation as subject to fidelity under that ripple effect. Creation groans, and while it awaits, and I quote, with eager expectation, the revelation of the children of God. Think about that a moment. That's a thought. You, each one of you, are to be agents of the world's, the cosmos's redemption. Creation is waiting, yes, for you and your contribution. So, and I quote, it would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. But today's parable has a way of reminding us the process is often messy and fraught with failures. Jesus may be sitting on a boat, but He speaks of a sower on the land. He uses an image, an Old Testament image of God as sower, working to renew Israel and the earth. His word will be successful. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. But there is this curiosity to the parable. One usually speaks of the yield of an entire field, of a harvest. But this parable talks about individual seeds and plants, and it describes three dangers and three yields of 160 or 30-fold. All depends on the soil. Jesus bids us focus and listen. You know, soil failure is being either a hardened path, a thin soil covering rock, or soil with the seeds of thorns and weeds that grow rapidly and choke. Jesus is talking about the soil condition of our hearts. I confess the parable makes me nervous. What kind of soil am I? Am I really receptive and responsive? You know, the world's redemption begins in individual human hearts becoming a community of one heart. It's becoming one together, the body of Christ. Where's my heart? Am I reaching out, or is it just, hey, me and you, God? Now, there was a reason why I used the short version. Many of you may remember it. Jesus goes aside, quotes Isaiah, and then explains each of the three dangers. But when I read the explanation, they are Matthew's talking to his community, because they're the problems of a living community, a real people that faces temptations for distraction, complacency, and the scandal of persecution. Why is this happening to me? But that first half, that part I read, we hear Jesus' own voice of good news. Now, you got to keep in mind, Jesus was already beginning to face mounting opposition. And he remains surprisingly upbeat. People are beginning to react to Jesus' very strange vision of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is like mustard seed? You got to be kidding me. It should be a Stanford redwood oak. The kingdom of God is like slimy yeast. At the end of the chapter, the concluding image of the chapter is Jesus going home, home village, and there he faces rejection. And yet, he's upbeat. He is convinced of the 160 and 30-fold growth. He still sees a rich harvest waiting for harvesters. Are you going to be a harvester? God's word will be effective. And so he challenges us, let everyone heed what he hears. You know, hearing is the mark of the true disciple in the New Testament. The Father continues to sow the seed of his word, helter-skelter, with reckless abandon, everywhere, among every people. He just sends it out. Translation, the Father keeps on speaking Jesus into our hearts. He doesn't give up. Jesus asks you to hear and to trust the Father. And that trust begins by a habit of noticing. Otherwise, we just sail through oblivious. A habit of noticing. It grows with a spirit of wonderment. Do you take time to delight? And it bears fruit by being flexible and responsive. Both inattention and moral rigidity kills, for it does not hear what God is saying, where he is calling, where he is sending. So in my days as a Christian brother, I had one confessor for over 9 years. Poor man. Matthew Quinn, Matty, a marvelous Irish Columban father. He was our chaplain. He was the pastor of the Chinese Catholic mission on the school's property. Yet when he first came to live with the brothers, he was Irish harsh. By his own admission, living with the brothers softened him. He began to relax. And in relaxing, he enjoyed people more. And he began to respond to them more deeply. And then he told me he began to notice that his people saw Jesus in him. And these are his words. I decided to get out of the way. I decided to get out of the way. His mission expanded because of his love, and he didn't let ego and all the little trips we play and go on get in the way. He lived faith by following and trusting the lead of God's presence in his life. Matty was offering God the good soil of a very open and learning heart. Our lives and our church will always be struggle. But by cultivating a spirit of wonder, by responding to God's surprises, and by intentionally, committedly sharing joy with each other, we begin to learn to trust the Father just like Jesus did. Opposition didn't get in the way of that trust. And you will produce a fruit of 160 and 30-fold. God doing it in you. So I want to suggest that at day's end, with that kind of spirit, you can paraphrase Dickens and say about your own life, it was the best of times, it was an age of wisdom, it was an epoch of belief, it was the spring of hope.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.